Timothy was a young man who was a trusted friend and associate of St. Paul. He is mentioned nearly 30 times in the letters of Paul and in the book of Acts as a traveling companion and friend to Paul. In Paul's second letter to his friend Timothy, he recognized that Timothy's faith is a gift to him through his mother and his grandmother. Here's how it's told in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writes these words, "I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you," that's talking to Timothy, "constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. I am reminded of your sincere faith that first lived in your mother Lois, your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and now lives in you." Let us pray. O Lord, help us to become masters of ourselves, that we might be the servants of others. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. When I was growing up, my family didn't go to church, and the only time I ever went to church was when I spent the night with my grandmother. My grandmother, or my dad's mother, was a very faithful follower of Jesus. She went every Sunday to First Methodist Church in Hereford, Texas, where we lived at the time. She had a certain place in the congregation where she sat. Does that ring a bell with anyone? Does someone here ever have a certain place that you sit? Because I remember going and sitting in that same seat with her about once a month or every 2 months when we stayed overnight. She was active in the Methodist women's group. She went to Bible studies. She made lunches for funeral lunches after people had lost a loved one. She made baskets for the poor. She was a very active, devoted follower of Jesus. And whenever we went to stay at her house, my older sister and I, she would read us stories, Bible-based stories about Jesus. And then at night before we went to bed, she taught us how to pray. She taught us to kneel down on the floor beside the bed, fold our hands like this, and then say prayers of thanks to God for what we were thankful for that day. And, you know, in the first, second, and third grade, I was thankful for my mother and father and my dog, and sometimes for my sister, not always. And then Sheila would offer her prayer, and then my grandmother would kneel beside us, and she would pray. And I remember how she prayed. She always thanked God for all of her children, naming them one by one, for all of her grandchildren, naming them by name. Every night, she lifted our family up to God in prayer. And then I remembered she had offered a special prayer for my dad, because at that time, my dad was a practicing alcoholic, and his addiction to alcohol was very distressing to our family and to my grandmother. But every night, she prayed. Jump ahead a few years. About 10 or 12 years later, we had moved to South Dakota. And I've told you the story about how my dad got in Alcoholics Anonymous through a spiritual experience, stopped drinking, became sober, and we started going to church as a family for the first time. But what I remember most about that time is that after my dad got sober, we went back to Texas to visit his mother, my grandmother. And when we got there, she ran out of the house and she hugged my dad and she cried. And she thanked God for this victory. She had been praying for this for years. And it finally happened. And she hugged all of us. As I thought about that experience, I realized that it was my grandmother's prayers, her faithful prayers for all of her family, especially for my dad, soaking us in prayer every night before she went to bed, that made a transformative difference in all of our lives and in my life. I would probably not be a follower of Jesus, probably not be a pastor, had it not been for the prayers and faithfulness of my grandmother. Did you have a grandmother or mother who prayed for you? Did you have a relative, maybe a father or grandfather, someone in your family who held you up to God, who surrendered you to God regularly and asked God to pour God's blessings upon you? If you did, you are blessed. And this morning I want us to thank God for those people who remembered us in prayer. And if you have children or you have grandchildren, I invite you to remember them in prayer by name, because it makes such a powerful difference in the lives of people who are prayed for. Maybe not immediately. I mean, we pray for a prayer, we want it to happen the next day. My grandmother prayed for at least 15 years before my dad had his awakening. I pray for that kind of faithfulness among all of us in praying for those we love. You see, Timothy had a similar experience. In the text I just read from Paul's second letter to Timothy, he tells us that this young man's faith came through the faith of his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. Now, how Paul met Timothy was like this. Paul, you know, traveled all over the Mediterranean preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. He went to Lystra, which was a city in what is now Turkey. And there in Lystra was this family, Lois and Eunice and the grandson Timothy. Now in Acts we learn that Timothy's father was not a follower of Jesus, but his mother and grandmother were. And I can imagine Paul and Timothy spending hours together talking about the life and teachings of Jesus, what he said, what he did, about his death and resurrection, about his living presence, about how he is available to give his unconditional love to anyone who opens their heart to receive it, and how he is beside us all the time, no matter what might happen in our lives. I imagine those are the kind of conversations that Paul had with young Timothy, probably in his teenage years. And then Paul went on his missionary journeys and took Timothy with him. He became his traveling companion. Paul wrote 13 letters in the New Testament, and 8 of them mention Timothy. Timothy is the one who was with him all the time. And when Paul would go to one place, he'd write a letter back to another place, giving them Christian guidance, and Timothy would take the letter. And then in his letter to Timothy himself, he writes, "I pray for you constantly, night and day." Now, Paul has been imprisoned, and they've been separated. And he said, "I remember your tears," the tears went over the separation. And he said, "I thank God for your sincere faith, genuine trust in God. Not trying to be in control yourself, but trusting God. I thank God for that faith that this young man has." And he said, "I know it came through your mother and through your grandmother and now lives in you." You see, Timothy received his faith through the influence of his mother and grandmother. The young people who are confirmed today, I just want to say, I know that your faith, the way you've been shaped, is more by your family than by us. Now, as church leaders, youth leaders, pastors, we want to have a positive impact in your life. We want you to know about Jesus Christ. We want you to surrender yourself to him. We want you to open up and allow his love to pour into your heart and bless you and lead you and guide you. That's what we want. But we know the greatest impact in your life is not us. It's your parents. It's your family. Because when they pray for you, when they lift you up regularly to God and model faith in Christ, it makes the most important difference in your life. And I want to thank all those parents and family members who have prayed for these young people to come to this point in their life where they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for themselves. We know, just as in Paul's case, it wasn't Paul's great preaching that led Timothy. It was his mother and grandmother that led Timothy to faith. So as parents and grandparents, family members, I want us all to take that task very seriously. To keep praying for our children and our grandchildren. You can never overestimate the power of prayer in transforming someone's life. A few moments ago, I interviewed Bashara Awad, my friend from college. He gave me permission to share something about his story, which is a powerful story of the faith of his mother. Bashara's parents lived in Jerusalem in the 1940s. He was the second of 7 children. And during the 1948 war between the Palestinians and the Jews who had been displaced in World War II, his father stepped out of the house one day and was killed by an Israeli soldier. So his mother is left widowed in her early 30s with seven children, ages 6 months to 10 years old. Try to imagine what that must have been like for his mother, Huda. Lose your husband, responsibility for children in the midst of a war. Now, Huda was a nurse, and so she got a nurse's job. That's how she supported her family. But when Bashar and his two older brothers got to teenage years, they wanted to go to high school. So the only way they could do that was to go to an orphanage in Jerusalem, sponsored by a church. And so that's where he went to high school. When he graduated, Bashar wanted to go to college. There was absolutely no way a Palestinian Christian would be able to go to college. There was no money and there was no college that would accept him. And then God stepped in. I think a miracle happened. Dr. Jack Leach was the professor of religion at Dakota Wesleyan in Mitchell, South Dakota. He had taken a group of people on a trip to the Holy Land. And they were to leave a certain day, but their plane was delayed, and so they had to wait till the next day. So in that day in between, he went to a Christian bookstore in Jerusalem. And he was talking to the woman in charge of the store. Found out he was a professor at a college. And she said, I know a young man who wants to go to college so badly, but there's no way he can do it. She took him over to the orphanage. And he met Bashar Awad. Was impressed with him. Told him he would do what he could to get him a university education. Dr. Leach went back to Mitchell, South Dakota, went to the Methodist church, talked to the Methodist men's group, told them about Bashar, and they agreed to raise all the funds to bring him to the United States to pay his tuition, room, and board for 4 years so he could get an education. That's how Bashar happened to wind up in our freshman class at Dakota Wesleyan. We became friends immediately through the International Students Association. And then after Bashar graduated, he got a teaching job in a small town in South Dakota, taught science for 3 years, eventually got his master's degree in education, and then he went back to Bethlehem. He went back to be principal of an orphaned children's school because during the midst of all these wars, there's many orphans left, Palestinian orphans who have no opportunity. And so he became principal of an orphanage school with kids that were like him, had lost family members in the conflict. I always admired Bashar for that. He could have stayed here. He was well-educated, articulate. He could have become an educator, a teacher here. It would have been much, much more comfortable. But he went back. Because he said he felt God called him to go back. To help other children who had suffered like he did in losing one or both of their parents in the conflicts. And to help those innocent children grow up. To know a way of peace and love and mercy. After 10 years as principal of the orphanage school, Bashar realized that these students, when they graduated, had no opportunity for college either. So he had a vision to start a college. I went over there in about 1979 with another troop, and he said, Ken, I'm starting a college. I said, really? Where? He said, I'll show you. We went into one room in this school. There were about 20 books on the shelf, and he said, this is Bethlehem Bible College. I said, it's kind of small, isn't it? He said, well, it will grow. And miracles happened. I just can't tell you the miracles that have happened in because of his faith. It started growing. They needed more space, and so he found an abandoned building owned by a group in England. Formerly been a school for the blind. It was now closed. He wanted to buy it. They wanted $1 million. He had no money. But he stopped every day for a year in front of that school and prayed, thank you, God, for giving us this building. People would say, Bashar, there is no way you're going to get this building. But he stopped, knelt, prayed, thank you, God. Well, about a year later, the people in London had no offers on the building, so they said, Bashar, you're the only one that wants it. We'll give it to you for 5 years for free. But in 5 years, we want $1 million for it. So they took it. And then Bashar came and started talking to people. And one man heard his story and gave $500,000. And they were able to buy the building. I mean, it's a miracle. All he had was a dream, and now it's a college producing peace in the world. The story I wanted to share with you has more to do with his mother. A number of years ago, Bashara and his family, his wife and three children, went and lived for a semester in Fresno, California, where he studied at a seminary to learn more about the Bible himself. And one day while they were there, they went down to an open market in Fresno, and they were speaking Arabic to each other. And an older woman came over and said to them, "Are you speaking Arabic?" Bashara said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, I can speak Arabic." She said, "I was an Assembly of God missionary to Jerusalem years ago." And then she went on to say that, "I taught girls, but I didn't feel I ever had much impact on any of the girls. I didn't think I really got through to them, except one girl. There was one girl who seemed very devout, and she said, I have prayed for her every day since I left Jerusalem." Bashara said, "What was that girl's name?" And she said, "Huda Awad." Bashara said, "She is my mother." And then he said to her, "Are you Miss Black?" She said, "Yes. How did you know?" He said, "My mother always talked about you, because you're the one that taught us faith. You're the one that taught us to trust God when we lost our father. You taught us how to trust God in the midst of war and conflict. Thank you." Bashara eventually was able to bring his mother over to meet Miss Black. They hadn't seen each other in 40 years. And they were reunited. But Bashara told Miss Black, he said, "You never know how much influence you have had because of the effect on my mother and the effect of her faith on us." I mean, think about it. Bashara started a Bible college. His son is the head of the most important interfaith group in Israel and Palestine that brings Jews and Christians together regularly in working out conflicts. His brother Alex is an ordained pastor and a United Methodist missionary to Jerusalem, preaching in a church and teaching at the Bible college. His other brother, Mubarak, is a professor of peace and reconciliation studies at American University in Washington, D.C. His other brothers and sisters have all made contributions in the communities where they lived. He said to Miss Black, "You have no idea how your prayers for my family have impacted our lives and what a difference this family has made for peace in the world." Timothy received his faith through his mother and his grandmother. I think Bashara received his faith through his mother and his spiritual grandmother, Miss Black. This morning I want us to thank God for the mothers and fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers who have prayed for us, because it's made a difference in our lives. And to make a commitment ourselves, even to get down on our knees, and to pray for each of our family members by name, surrendering them in the hands of God, bathing them in prayer, because that prayer of trust and faith can have a transformative effect in their lives. Let us pray. Loving God, we're thankful for those who have prayed for us, who have blessed us with their lives. May we be those who pray for others. May we pray for our family members and all those who need prayer and healing love in their lives, and use even our prayers to transform the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.